Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Who's on the inside of you?
Jesus!
That's what I thought. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it does not matter what devil in hell has come against you, Sunset Hills. It does not matter how many people are talking bad about you at work online. It doesn't matter how bad the traffic was, which finger they used to tell you hello. Or what showed up in your mailbox today. What email you got. What bill you did not expect. This I know. Victory in Jesus. Yes, victory is ours, and the battle is the
Lord's.
The battle is the Lord's. We are not going into this thing by ourselves. Matter of fact, we have just started the year of Jubilee. We have just stepped into something that we don't even know anything about. We are walking into something. I tell you what, if you knew, if this was December of 2020, and you were getting ready to recap what has just happened in the last 16 months, you wouldn't be going, woo! I know what you'd be doing. You would be saying, I cannot believe what the Lord has done for me. Somebody give me a microphone. Somebody let me write down my testimony. Somebody put me on their Instagram, because I'm here to tell you, I think Jesus loves me more than he loves anybody else. Because when I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, I can't even believe he thinks about me in this way, because I don't even think about me in this way. This is what I think of me, and this is what Jesus thinks of us. Woo! We need a high expectation. I want to hear you say that. Say high expectation. Woo, praise the Lord. I tell you what, I can't see Sunset Hills on the back screen, and I sure would like to, because I like watching them react. I don't know, though, over here at Royal Palm, they are setting the bar today. Y'all, it feels like y'all have been praying and fasting and believing. I tell you what, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. And yet there's some barriers in the way. Everybody say barriers. At the end of the 1040 service, which was the 1140 service here, so that was Earth City, that was Ferguson Florissant, that was Weldon Spring, and that was West Palm Beach campus, which was in Royal Palm this weekend, right? Because can't no hurricane shut us down. So at the end of that service, there was just like this movement that happened in prayer that I've gotten like overwhelming feedback, people DMing me, talking to me, telling me what God did for them in that moment when they realized that there was a barrier between them and believing that Jubilee could happen for them as a person. Like, they believe in the Jubilee in general. They believe in debt forgiveness in general. They believe in salvation in general. They believe in healing in the body in general. But when it comes to us specifically, receiving that kind of blessing, Sunset Hills, I'm telling you what, the enemy is a liar. God has been waiting for this particular year. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He knows the back of the book before the first word is written. There's this guy in history. His name is Hernan Cortez. Hernan Cortez was a Spanish explorer to Mexico. He brought 553 soldiers. He brought 11 ships. You would think that would be a huge just group of men invading this country. And yet, as they land in the country, they realize that there are over 5 million inhabitants of the country. So what they did not plan on was the odds were roughly one guy to 7,500 and some change. How many of you know those are not good odds? But their orders were to take the land, inhabit the land, colonize the land. You see, the Lord has sent you to a promised land. When you look at it, you don't think the odds look good. Can you see yourself debt free, yes or no? Some more than others, Jay. Can you see yourself completely healed?
Yes.
Can you see yourself in a happy marriage?
Yes.
Can you see yourself with children?
Yes.
Can you see yourself not wanting to kill them? There are limits to God. People are starting to contemplate, I didn't know we could kill our children, Ed. Is that an option? We would have done it sooner. So Herman lands 550 guys. He's got all of these ships. And what does he do when the guys get scared and they want to go home? He gives the command, burn the ships. Burn the ships. No plan B. What is plan A? Enter into Jubilee. What is plan B? Live 2020 just like we live 2019. And this is the same way we lived 2018, and 2017 was supposed to be different 2018. But you know, there was that thing, and there was that illness, and then there was that surgery, and then there was that news, and then there was that ticket, and then the car broke down, and you know, No! We are going into Jubilee today. Today. And I brought with me something to burn the ships. By the end of this thing, I'm going to have you saying with me, I want you to say, burn, baby, burn.
Burn, baby, burn.
You see, what happened is they got there and burned the ships. And what do you know? With no plan B, things just happen to work out. Do you know a study was done, and 9 times out of 10, people opt out of plan A, not when circumstances get too hard, but when things begin to look like they could get hard? The enemy wants you to opt out of your flood of favor. The enemy wants you to say no to the opportunity. The enemy wants you to get stuck where you have been just because you think the odds are too big. The odds are not too big, Arden and Susie. The odds are not too big, Pastor Phil. The odds are not too big. I'm here to tell you, God is bigger than your problem.
Yeah.
And God is big enough to bless you no matter the obstacle. Who believes that's true? I want to hear a good amen. And you know, I don't know how long it took to plan that expedition with Herman Cortez, but I do know that God has been planning for this year to be the flood of favor since you even realized it. Matter of fact, did you know that we were preaching about this flood of favor on April 29th, 2014? Matter of fact, I brought a little clip with me from a Tuesday night service, April 29th, 2014. Would you guys play that for us for just 1 second? But I'm going to share with you probably the most powerful thing that God has shared with me, because I totally believe this is a word for our church. I was actually in a service, and it was a Tuesday night. And as I was standing there lost in worship, one of the coolest things that has ever happened to me personally. And then again, I see another picture in my head, and it's like the Mississippi River, and all of a sudden the Mississippi River starts coming up, and it's coming out of its banks. And as it's coming out of its banks, I saw that it was leaving this fertile soil everywhere that it went because of its overflow. In April of 2019, or April 29th on 2014, Pastor David asked me to share a vision that I had from another Tuesday night service. It was October 29th, 2013. It was exactly 6 months to the day. Isn't that interesting how God works that stuff out? It was exactly 6 months to the day that Pastor David said, you have to share that vision, Nicole. And we have the whole thing. We could play. I could sit down right now and we could share that whole thing with you. But instead, what I'm going to do, I brought a few pictures of it from my prayer journal. Everybody say prayer journal. This is why we have to have a prayer journal, because here it is 5 years later from when I spoke it, 5.5 years later from when God gave it to me. Isn't it interesting that 5 is the number of grace, and God's given us 5, 5, 5, grace, grace, and triple grace. We can do this, this, and that. It all comes together. But I brought some pictures of it, and I'm going to read it to you. They're going to put it on the side screen, Sunset Hills. They're going to put it on this screen here, and I'm going to read you this vision. It says, I saw a tree, and there were these big red apples and these juicy red cherries. They were hanging down from this tree. And there were people on the ground, and they were trying to reach up, and they were trying to harvest the fruit from the tree and pull it down. At the same time, the people were reaching up, and they were on ladders, and they were getting up, and they were getting down, and there was these little lawn tractors around, and I think we have to turn these monitors down a little bit because they're feeding back. So they were reaching up, but at the same time, God's reaching down for heaven. And he's looking for the ripe ones, but the fruit was alive. And the fruit was like hiding under the leaves from God's hands, but making itself available to the people at the bottom. So hiding from God and making itself available to the people at the bottom. And God said, when you're ripe and you let the world reach up and have your best, they pull you down, not up. And you get mired and you get stuck. I'm telling you right now, there is something trying to pull you down and keep you away from your flood of favor. Amen? It says, but when I harvest you, said God, you want to have me harvest you. You have to be ripe and you have to be willing. Then when I harvest you, I don't pull you down. I pull you up to a new level. I pull you up to a new platform, like the platform that's in front of you right now. Because I was sitting on the front row when this happened. You come up and it's solid and sure and steady or won't move or falter beneath you. And right at that moment, the team started just flowing in the spirit and they started singing, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Except for I thought they were singing the word overflow because what I find out later, everybody else heard thank you, Lord, but I heard overflow, 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 audibly over and over again. Then all of a sudden, it's as if. So let me introduce you to this concept of a vision. A vision is a whole lot like a daydream. You ever had like a deja vu? Yeah. Deja vu is honestly just like God letting you know, hey, I'm real. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that you don't understand about. You've done that thing where you've walked in and you're like, oh my gosh, I've been here before. And those pictures were right here. And that person was right there. But you don't know that person. Has that ever freaked you out? God knows where we're going to be, when we're going to be, and how we're going to be. And every now and then, he gives us this little glimpse of it. So he gave me this glimpse of the Mississippi River. And I don't know if y'all have ever been to St. Louis, and we have some friends here from St. Louis. Sunset Hill knows all about this. The Mississippi River will come up, and it will spill over at banks. And it says the Mississippi River was overflowing. And I heard every time there is overflow, that it leaves a fertile silt in everything that it touches. It allows everything it touches to be fertile ground for planting and growing trees. And then he said, be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And then at the same time, I saw the second river, and this was the river of our church. Faith Church came up and Faith Church began to overflow and the Mississippi River was overflowing and the river of Faith Church was overflowing and they overflowed so much the waters of the two started to mix and parallel and overflow into each other and the soil flowed into each other and the water became one river and the fertileness was everywhere. The fertileness of Faith Church has mixed into the community at this point. And the fertileness of the Spirit of God started going out in the community and it started littering fertile spiritual ground everywhere that it went. And all I could hear was overflow, overflow, overflow. It is a product of the overflow, overflow. Faith Church, we are called not to just receive a flood of the Spirit, but we are called to be a flood of the Spirit. Amen. Do you like me sharing this just very directly straight from my prayer journal? Is this okay? It said that the city would grow out of our overflow. The Spirit and church would grow out of our overflow. There's an abundance of finance in the overflow. There's an abundance of help in the overflow. There's abundance of congregation in the overflow. There's abundance of people in the overflow. There's a bunch of abundance of staff in the overflow. There's abundance of influence in the overflow. There's a bunch of energy, peace, joy, friends, family, time in the overflow. Whatever we need, come on, somebody. It's in the overflow. So God was telling me, how do we get to the overflow? He said, pray. Pray till you get in the overflow. Pray until you overflow. And then he said, pray until the people around you overflow. So how do we do it? We pray until we're in the overflow, and then we pray until we overflow, and then we pray until the people around us overflow. We have just another minute of this. It says, trees were planted out of the residual of the overflow. You see, there will be a time that the flooding actually stops, but when the floodwaters recede, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. Because now all the ground is fertile and it's ready for planting. And it said they were a tree, like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, whose leaf would not wither. And when the enemy comes in, offense came in many forms. I could see this fertile ground, and then I could see this dry ground. You ever noticed in the summertime, some of the ground is like so clayey, and it's almost like a puzzle. It's so cracked up. Have you ever seen that? Say amen. Amen. I could see this fertile ground, and then this dry ground where there was no overflow. There seemed to be no fertile land in this area. Everything was locked up. There was no movement, and God was not moved. And like a flood... And like a flood. This is October 29th, 2013. Like a flood. God was preparing us almost 6 years ago for this moment. He said, like a flood. You see, the dryness in the ground were the race riots we had in St. Louis. And they left a dryness and a hardness of heart and a bitterness of one people against another people. So there was this dry ground that came up. And he said, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord was raised against the enemy and caused overflow, 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 overflow. And do you know, God's telling me this on the front row, and I'm writing as fast as I can, and I'm crying, I'm doing an ugly cry. I look terrible. My mascara is down on my lips. I look like I'm emo. I don't even know. And it said, do you know what tore that dam down that the enemy had built to release the flood of favor, finances, direction, help, people, leaders, and staff? Praise. And then I hear, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Like the walls of Jericho. The flood walls, like the walls of Jericho, crumbled as we thanked the Lord. And the praise brought the overflow. And the trees are already growing at a remarkable rate. They were springing out of the ground, ready to produce faster than anything you'd ever seen. How could a newly planted tree produce fruit that fast? I mean, I saw seeds going in, and I saw trees coming out, and I saw fruit showing up, but the fruit wasn't hiding from God. Why? Because it was planted in the overflow. There's some planting that's going to be happening very early in this Jubilee season. We're going to be planting our time, our talent, our treasure, our thoughts, our prayers, and our praise. For my note takers, I'm going to repeat that again. We're going to plant our time, our talent, our treasure, our prayers, and our praise, and our thoughts. Let me harvest and pull up, God says. Let me bring it to a new level, and let me set it on the rock. Is this okay with you? Yeah. You know, I wanted to do this on a Tuesday night. I didn't think I would do it on a Sunday. I wasn't sure I would do it on a Sunday because this is a lot for brand new Christians to take. But I knew this Tuesday night crowd, I knew what kind of people you are. You're schooled in the Lord and you're hungry for things of the Spirit. You're ready to receive. What will happen is you'll notice that the people who are involved in small groups, you'll notice the people who come on Tuesday night, you'll notice the people who are involved, they're not just coming to church once a week, but they're serving their mouth. You'll notice that their jubilee and their overflow and their flood of favor seems so much bigger, and it's not that God likes them better, it's just they got deeper in the water. And what I didn't know until several months later, 6 months later, here I am in Ezekiel 47. And if you'll put up Ezekiel 47, verse 1, it says, the man brought me to the entrance of the temple. And I'm going to paraphrase the first few verses. And he said, when he brought me up to the temple door, which was facing east, I think it's very interesting that in 2013 was the very first time we came to Florida, which is the east. And we looked at the temple door and we started our monthly meetings in 2014. When we released this word, we were starting our monthly meetings right then. And it says water coming out from the east and the water coming down from under the south side of the temple. So here we are, the east coast, at the very south part of the east coast, and that's where the flood's coming out. And so as the floodwaters are coming out, he goes 1,000 cubits and it's ankle deep. So he went to growth track and he got some ankle deep stuff. He goes another 1,000 cubits, and it gets knee-deep. He went another 1,000 cubits, he joined an iConnect group, and all of a sudden, his flood got a little deeper. He goes another 1,000 feet, he starts serving, and he starts actually drinking the water that he's hearing preached, and now he's up to waist-deep. Another 1,000 cubits, he starts sowing and giving and actually not thinking just about his own Christianity, his own walk, but thinking about other people and what he can do to help them. And all of a sudden, it says, it's swimming deep. You can't get across that. It's that kind of flood. And in verse 6, it says, Son of man, what do you see? And it says in verse 7, he led me back. And when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on either side of the river. In verse 9, and wherever the double river shall go. God just talked about two rivers. I didn't know this. I wasn't reading the scripture and got it. I was sitting in the middle of a service. It says, wherever the double river shall go, every living creature which swims there shall live. And there shall be a very great number of fish. Because the waters go there, the waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh, and everything shall live wherever the river goes. Verse 12 says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will the fruit fail. Now, when I was quoting that in the vision, I was quoting it out of Psalms 1, but here it is in Ezekiel 47, when it's talking about a double river. Every month, they will bear fruit, not once a season. You see, the way we have trained our brain to think about the season of how God can bless us. Well, he could probably bless me through my tax return, and then I do get my annual raise, and, you know, there is that spring bonus time, and, you know, I could get my car. I could renew that lease at a good price. No, don't limit God to a seasonal blessing. Come on, somebody. Every month, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Why? Because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. I'm here to tell you, on April 29th, 2014, in a vision that happened on October 29th, 2013, God was thinking about you. He was thinking about getting you into Faith Church, and we might have even had to hold on this flood until you finally got your happy tail into the place, because you got to be near the spout where the glory comes out if you're going to be getting wet. And God said, I need to wait until they get there, because it's been my will, and I've been calling their name, and I've been wanting them to get here, and I need them to have their jubilee, and I need their prayers, and I need their praise, and I need to be able to bless them, because that's what I want to do. I want to bless them. God's got a plan to bless you. This is years he's been working on getting you right here, right now. Double rivers flooding. And if you've been wondering about flooding, we've been having some in St. Louis. It's not a thing we've had to visualize. Matter of fact, last Sunday, Pastor David was showing pictures of what the flood looks like. So how do we get to the flood of favor? How do we step in the water, measured 1,000 cubits, and got ankle deep? So that brings me back to this past Sunday, the 10:40 service, when I started praying for people. And asked people, how many of you, for those of you who weren't at that particular service, how many of you feel like you know that it's Jubilee, but for some reason you just doubt that it could happen for you? Yeah. Third of the room stood up. I said, okay, let me ask you this question. How many of you, there's something wrong in your body? And you think, well, not this year. I mean, the doctor said it couldn't be healed, so it can't happen to me. 10% more of the people stood up. How many of you think you're in such a bad financial position, God could do something, but it's not going to happen in the next 16 months? Almost the entire room is standing. Everybody's got a reason that Jubilee can happen. It just can't happen for them. So tonight, we're going to burn the plows. Tonight, we're going to burn the ships. Tonight, we're going to burn the boats. Tonight, we're going to burn the reasons why we can't have Jubilee. Because Jesus did not die so everybody could be saved but you. Jesus did not die so everybody could be healed but you. Jesus didn't die so everybody could be blessed but you. The enemy is telling you, not you. And Jesus is saying, I would have done it only for you. So at the same time this is happening, I'm reading Acts 19 and I'm reading 1 Kings 19 at the same time. In both places, I come across the same scripture and I'm reading a book that puts them both in the same place in the same day. And that's when I'm like, you ever been reading stuff and going, this isn't even possible to accidentally run across this stuff in the same place? And that's when I knew that I knew that I knew we had to talk about this. So I'm going to talk about Elijah for a second. There's Elijah, J, and Elisha. So J is in charge and Sh is the mentor. So this is Elijah. So Elijah is told, you need to go find a mentor. You need to go find a guy. And he does. He walks by and there's this dude. He's a farmer. He's got 12 yoke of oxen. I don't know how much doo-doo he scoops every day, but it be a lot. He is the chief ox dude scooper. And then he's got to go run the ox. He's got to clean the ox. His life is full of bull. That's my best joke of the evening. So his life is full of bull. Here he is. He's literally plowing the fields. And Elijah walks by and he says, Elisha, I want you to come and follow me. I want to mentor you. Everybody wants to be mentored, but nobody wants to be inconvenienced. So he got one chance. Drop what you're doing and come with me or forget about it. I wonder if our entrance into Jubilee looks like drop what you're doing right now and come follow what I've got for you over here if we'll actually do it. See, we only get a partial hand clap. Sunset Hills, I don't know how it went over there, but you only get a partial hand clap if it looks like an inconvenient blessing. Let me put it this way. If the business that you want to start and the healing that you want to feel and the joy that you've been aching for and the anxiety that you have been repulsed by all get alleviated and given to you in the same moment by doing something you never imagined yourself doing, would you be willing to do the thing? If God's plans are not your plans and God's ways are not your ways, are you still willing if you don't feel worthy? Are you still willing if you don't really think you want to? Are you still willing if that's what God wants? If you are, you better praise him for a hot 3 seconds. Yes and amen. God, use us, Lord, please. So Elisha gets the chance and he's like, there's only one way it's gonna work. And in verse 21, it says he burned the plowing equipment, killed the oxes, and then he ate them and fed the people. Back in the day, in 1999, I made a lot of money. And I had this box. This is about just a very small size of the box. My box was about this big, and it was full. Can you imagine how many index cards would fit in a box this big? And it was a sales lead box. And each one of these cards was a sales lead. I'd written down the name, the company, the phone number, the email, when their contract was up, how much money they were worth, the kind of business that they did. I had done all the pre-work. All these people wanted to do business with me. They were just in a contract they couldn't get out of till the date. This little box is sorted by date. My future is looking fine. And God tells me to quit my job. I wasn't sure how that was going to go over with Pastor Dave. And when I told him, baby, I think I'm supposed to quit my job, I told him, induct. And he said, I've been waiting for you to tell me that because I think you're supposed to quit your job. So I had my index box and I put it up in the top of the closet where it would be nice and safe and I could ignore it. I thought I could ignore it because, you see, I must not have ignored it because while I was praying, God was talking to me about that index box. And he said, what do you need that in the closet for? This is not hurting anybody, just out of the way. Maybe I'll sell it one day. I could sell it. That's what I'll do, God. I'll sell those leads. He's like, you're not going to sell those leads. Oh, I'm not going to sell those leads. Mm-mm, no. What am I going to do, God? He's like, you're going to burn those leads. Well, God, that doesn't make sense. Remember how we said, what if God wants you to do a thing that you don't want to do because it doesn't make sense to you, but it makes sense to God? So he said, yeah, I want you to go to the backyard. I want you to start a fire, and I want you to burn those leads.
It'd be cool if I could really pull that off right now. The devil is a liar. The only time hell's not hot is when I need it to be. So I had to go out there, and I had to watch, I don't know, $100,000 burn, $2,000 burn, $500 burn. I had to watch each of them burn. Oh, that one didn't want to burn. It must be the Lord. I get to keep this one. Nope. Sometimes, I love this. God worked it out. Sometimes it might be hard for us to set fire to those things that God's wanting us to set fire to. There we go. God, it doesn't want to burn. If it doesn't want to burn, I must get to keep it. Burn, baby, burn. You see, that's why you got slips of paper while you walk in today. If you want to get those slips of paper out. Because honestly, I was able to preach about this tonight because I was able to think about the couple of things that I thought were going to keep me from living some of my jubilee. I'd come up with reasons. I better put this in water so we don't set the fire alarm off. That would be pleasant. But that smells like we should have s'mores. I thought of some reasons why I couldn't enter my promised land. I thought of some reasons why some stuff was too big for me. And you guys hear me complain about it. I mean, they are champagne problems. I will be honest with you. It's like, hey, they asked me to do this TV show. They named it the Nicole Crank Show. Every time I say, somebody says, what's the name of your show? I said, it's the Nicole Crank Show, but I hate that name. And my husband said, you don't say that again. That's the name God wanted to give it. That's the name you use, and you'd be proud of that name. I'm embarrassed about that. I don't know why I am, but that's stupid. If God tells you to do something, and if he wants you to name it something you don't want to name it, you just name it whatever he wants to name it, whether you're embarrassed of it or not, whether it's hotter than you want it to be or not, whether it says your name on it and that's weird. You do whatever God wants you to do. And then if you get nervous about doing it, you just do like me and you tell everybody, here's where I screwed up. Here's where God is kicking my butt in one of 20 areas. There's so many other things. I think that's the easiest one to tell you about. But how is it we can be complaining about the blessings? God's like, if you have got all these little complaints about the things I've blessed you with, how am I supposed to increase you in the very area you're complaining about? That's how the Israelites stayed right outside the promised land for 40 years. You see, their jubilee was right here, but they were right here. This is us right now. What is it that's between us and our jubilee? Is it that we don't believe God is big enough? Is that we don't believe God is strong enough? Is that we don't think he can heal the marriage? Because he could do anything else, but he can't heal this marriage. You see, I'm too hurt. Do you think he can't make that baby grow inside of you? Do you think maybe he couldn't bring you a baby from somewhere else? Are you attacking these issues right now? No, you see, I don't think anything is too big for God. I've stood here too long. I've seen too much. I've watched a woman who couldn't hear take the hearing aids out and throw them in a pool. I've watched a girl that goes to Sunset Hill, she's there right now, come out of a wheelchair and walk again. I watched another woman watch that woman do it and say, well, if it worked for her, I believe God could do it for me. Do you believe God can do it for you? So it's going to take a moment. You have to write down. You have to write it down. What is it that's too big, too strong, too doubtful, too rooted, too lengthy? It's been here for too many decades. What is that thing that's in the way? And I want you to write it down. And on the outside of Sunset Hills, and when you walk out of here at Royal Palm today, there's going to be a place for you to burn it. There's a fire pit out there, and I don't want you to sit there and watch it burn a little bit and walk away. I want you to watch the thing burn, baby, burn. Yeah. Tonight, we're sending our insecurities to hell. Tonight, we're sending our doubts to hell where they came from. Yeah. Tonight, we're sending our fear back to hell because the devil is the author of it. Yeah. Tonight, we're going to let all of that burn. Yeah. And here's how Acts 19 just folds right in to 1 Kings 19, folds right in to the flood prophecy, and flows right in to that Cortez man. Here's what happens. In Acts 19, actually, it says, I think I send him a picture. It says in the Passion Translation, will you guys put that picture that I send up? In Acts 19 in the Passion Translation, it shows a picture and it says, revival breaks out. Well, what caused revival to break out? You see, what caused revival to break out is in verse 11, Paul is doing miracles. Let me ask you, is there anyone in this room who has received a notable miracle? God has done something incredible that they would consider a miracle. I want you to stand up. At Sunset Hills, if God has done a notable miracle in your life, I want you to stand up. Now, I want you to look around the room and I want to ask you the question, is God doing notable miracles at Faith Church? We have the beginnings of revival breaking out on our hands. And it says after that, it goes on to say, there's these other people, they're like, ooh, the cool things are happening at Faith Church, so what you need to do is you need to call your 1-900 psychic line. And it says the psychic lines got their butt kicked by the demons. So all the people got freaked out, and the name of Jesus started being exalted to the point where the people who were looking into all of the wrong things, the people who were searching for Ouija boards, the people who were searching in psychic lines, the people who were looking in their magician books, the people who were looking in their pornography books for happiness, the people who were looking to all of the wrong people to build them up, the people who were cheating on their taxes to make money, to the people who were lying to their sales in order to make their quotas, all of those people, all of those cheaters, what they did is they took all of their magic books, all of these bad books, and they took them outside and they burned them. And all of these books that they burned their index boxes, and the amount of what they burned was $3,700,000. And when they took, like the woman with the alabaster box, and gave God something that cost them something, but it was the something that was in the way of the everything. Are we going to let the something be in the way of the everything? Once they burned the something, they were able to get into the everything, and revival broke out, and paralyzed men came up, and people were raised from the dead, and even the shadows of Paul were healing people, and handkerchiefs that touched him were going places and healing people, and revival came. Revival is coming. Revival is coming. Revival is coming. God wants you in the revival. God wants you in the flood. God wants you in the overflow. And he just wants these little things that are in the way. He wants them to let us burn, baby burn. So I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for those people who have something to burn. If you have something to burn, if you're not standing right now, would you stand up with us, please? If you have something to burn, if you don't, if you're good, if you've handled this already with God, you can stay seated. But if you're like, no, you kind of read my mail, and I prefer God doesn't give you any more specifics that you may share. So I'm just going to do my thing with God outside, and we're going to burn some things down. Do me a favor. When you write your paper, fold it up. Don't let anybody see it. Ain't their business. You just burn that up. Send it to hell. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we're here to please you. God, I can feel in my spirit it's not all the way through yet. There are some folks here that there's some things they're not admitting, they're not willing to give up, they're still trying to hang on. And God, on your behalf, please use my voice to be the audible voice of God to tell them, if you will trust me, I will never take anything from you that will hurt you. But I will take things from you that can come out of your way. That if you allow me to get yourself out of your way, I can funnel more through you, more happiness, more excitement, more zest. If you've been saying, I lost my zest, I lost my vigor for life, I don't know where it went, God says, I'm talking to you. I heard you in heaven, and I'm telling you how to get past it.
Father God, we lift our hands to heaven and we receive it from you. We thank you for your gifts of mercy and grace. We thank you for listening to our prayers and being that God who doesn't just listen and forget, but God, you listen and you go to work. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You can be seated as you're writing, and the tears that I'm seeing are encouraging my heart so much. Because that means you're listening to God speak. It's hard to listen to God speak and not let it touch you. When it touches you to your soul and it leaks out your eyes, it is the best.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.